Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Detention Incident to Search Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 19, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Bailey v. United States. The question in this case was whether, under the court's 1981 decision in Michigan v. Summers, police officers may detain an individual incident to the execution of a search warrant when the individual has left the immediate vicinity of the premises before the execution of the warrant. In an opinion delivered by Justice Kennedy, the court held by a vote of 6-3 that the detention permitted under Summers is confined to the immediate vicinity of the premises to be searched under the warrant. The defendant in this case, the court determined, was detained outside the immediate vicinity of the premises, and his detention could thus not be justified under Summers. The court therefore reversed the decision of the Court of Appeals, but remanded the case for consideration of whether, independent of Summers, the defendant's detention was justified under the reasonable suspicion standard set forth in Terry v. Ohio. Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Scalia, Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kagan joined Justice Kennedy's majority opinion. Justice Scalia filed a concurring opinion, which was joined by Justices Ginsburg and Kagan. Justice Breyer filed a dissenting opinion, which was joined by Justices Thomas and Alito. Discussed the case, we have Stephen Henderson, who is a professor of law at the University of Oklahoma College of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Henderson.
I'm Stephen Henderson, a professor at the University of Oklahoma College of Law, here to discuss the recently decided Supreme Court case of Bailey v. United States. I previously recorded a post-oral argument podcast for this case, and I won't repeat all the arguments and explanations I made there. If you're very interested in the case, you can listen to them both, especially since the court came out as I predicted it should. But I will give enough background that this podcast can stand on its own. Bailey concerns the ability of police to detain persons during the execution of a warrant-based home search. I described the underlying facts in some detail in the previous podcast, but the upshot was this. Police in Suffolk County, New York, obtained a warrant authorizing the search of a home. As the search team was assembling nearby, two officers began surveillance, the goal being to gather intelligence that would be of use to the search team, such as, ideally, the number of persons within the home. Those officers observed two men leaving the home. According to the 1981 decision in Michigan v. Summers, a warrant to search a home implicitly authorizes the detention of the occupants of that home during the execution of that search. So had the officers desired, they could have confronted the two men as they began to leave, detained them, and began the search warrant execution. But police wanted to use the still-assembling search team, and they didn't want to prematurely detain these persons, lest others potentially still in the home would take notice and perhaps destroy evidence, flee, or attempt to resist. So the officers allowed the two to leave the home, but followed as they drove away and stopped their vehicle about a mile from the home. The police placed the two men in handcuffs and returned them to the home, where the search team had now commenced the search. No more than 15 minutes elapsed from the time the two men had voluntarily left the home to the time at which they were forcibly returned. The question for the court was whether this detention was permissible under the categorical Summers rule. Police can make an arrest upon probable cause, and they can temporarily detain a person upon the lesser reasonable suspicion. But Summers is different. It permits the detention of all occupants of a home during the execution of a warrant search, regardless of individualized suspicion. These two men, one of whom was our petitioner Bailey, were not detained as occupants of the home. Instead, they had left the home and were detained a mile from the home as they were driving away. Perhaps the detention was justified by Terry. Indeed, the district court so held, but the government wanted to push for an extension of Summers. So the government argued that Summers not only permits the detention of home occupants, but also should apply to recent occupants who were detained as quickly as reasonably practicable. The issue had split the courts of appeals. The Supreme Court, by a vote of 6-3, held in favor of Bailey, meaning the Summers rule is limited to occupants, or as the court put it, to those detained within, quote, the immediate vicinity of the premises to be searched, close quote. If police want to operate outside of that, as they did here, they must rely upon individualized suspicion, meaning a Terry stop or a probable cause arrest. Okay, first things first. Did the court get it right? Where right means as I would have it. An egotistical view of right, I grant you, but the one in which I'm best qualified to speak. Yes, it did. As I explained in the post-argument podcast, police are already legally equipped to act when the safety of themselves or others is at stake, or when they have individualized reasonable suspicion. And because Summers operates outside of those norms, the onus is properly upon the government to justify any extension. And while it would be wrong to say there's no argument, therefore, after all, it convinced several circuit courts and three justices of the Supreme Court, and I discussed some merits in the previous podcast, ultimately, the court chose the better rule. Before addressing that substance, a comment upon the composition of the majority concurrence and dissent. Many, especially in the popular press, make too much of the expected pairings based upon judicial philosophy, but it can be of interest. Here, the 6-justice majority opinion was penned by Justice Kennedy, often seen as the pivotal swing justice. On some issues, it is fair to say, as it was of O'Connor before, that as Kennedy blows, the court goes. In this case, joining Kennedy were Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Scalia, two of the, quote, conservative justices, and Justices Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kagan, three of the, quote, liberal justices. Such labels are simplistic, but do have their place. Three of those justices, Scalia, Ginsburg, and Kagan, also wrote a separate concurrence in order to stress what they saw as the error of the dissent. Well, it's true the dissenters did not write as carefully as could be done, because at times they seemed to focus on the particular facts of this case, as opposed to what those facts teach for this category of cases. The dissenters understood the categorical nature of the issue, so in significant part the concurrence consists of setting up a straw man and then knocking it down. Writing for the three dissenters was Justice Breyer, a, quote, liberal justice, joined by, quote, conservatives Thomas and Alito. Okay, why did the court refuse to broaden the Summers rule? Because stops justified by reasonable suspicion are the Fourth Amendment norm, or we could more broadly say by individualized suspicion are the Fourth Amendment norm. And there's no pressing need for any extension. And because a stop like that in this case is more intrusive than a Summers detention. The first Summers interest is to minimize the risk of harm to officers. A home occupant might suddenly become violent. Obviously, this is no concern as to a person who has left. A person who has left might return, but that is the case even for a person who has been away for many hours or even all day. And the Summers rule does not extend to detaining such persons, and the police can and do take precautions to prevent persons from entering the home during a search. In short, the proffered justification of officer safety, if it applied at all, would prove too much, meaning it would not have any acceptable stopping point, and so it was rejected. The second Summers interest similarly fails, which is that a home occupant might destroy evidence or otherwise impede orderly execution of the search. This is no concern as to a former occupant who has left. The third Summers interest is potentially implicated, but it's an alleged interest that could easily be misused to overwhelm the norm of individualized suspicion. The interest is to, quote, prevent flight in the event that incriminating evidence is found, close quote. If there is an importance to Scalia's concurrence, it's that he more openly acknowledges that the Summers court simply spoke more broadly than it should have. It should not have asserted this ground, because the ground could, the majority here recognizes, justify, quote, detaining a suspect who's 10 miles away, ready to board a plane, close quote. That would be a great departure from typical Fourth Amendment principles. Finally, detaining a person away from the home and forcibly returning that person to the home, and thus necessarily to some degree parading him or her through the public, is a greater intrusion than merely preventing an occupant from leaving the home. So, quote, the categorical authority to detain incident to the execution of a search warrant must be limited to the immediate vicinity of the premises to be searched, close quote. What constitutes the immediate vicinity? As usual, the devil is in the details, and it's a devil the court decided could be put off for another day. It will be up to lower courts to work out more difficult cases, an inquiry that, says the Supreme Court, will require looking to property lines, to lines of sight, and to ease of reentry, perhaps among other things. Some will critique the court for not articulating this calculus, but it's one sensibly left to the lower courts in the first instance. It's not okay that courts can avoid constitutional questions, and thereby forever leave the law unsettled, as with modern qualified immunity jurisprudence. But it is proper that the Supreme Court, the court of last resort, and the court most divorced from events on the ground, not establish fact-intensive rules without the benefit of lower court attempts. Where did the dissenters go astray? They overlooked the greater intrusion of Bailey's stop, and more fundamentally, overlooked that the search had not yet commenced. The dissent would allow police to stop those persons who were seen leaving the premises, so long as they're detained as soon as reasonably practicable. But the dissenters don't identify how imminent the search must be at the time of the person's leaving the home. Instead, the dissent reads as if the search were already underway. And while the dissenters are concerned that the court's rule would lead police to endanger themselves by moving in before they're really prepared, in order to be able to detain a person leaving, that runs contrary to everything I've learned from those who work closely with police. I'd rather be tried by 12 than carried by 6, goes the familiar line, referring to the traditional 6 pallbearers at a funeral. And I've no doubt police will rightly continue to make their safety a foremost priority. So that's where Bailey leaves things. Police executing a search warrant can, without any individualized suspicion, detain occupants, interpreted to mean those within the immediate vicinity of the premises to be searched. In order to detain other persons, police must rely upon individualized suspicion or another Fourth Amendment exception. The mere existence of the warrant will not suffice. In the words of the court, quote, an exception to the Fourth Amendment rule prohibiting detention absent probable cause must not diverge from its purpose and rationale, close quote. And the requested extension of Summers would do just that.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.